the Dead Set Legends are up in a sec, thanks to Newtown Toyota, who've been catering to all your automotive needs for over 30 years.
Oh, dearie. It's a grand final show, and all of a sudden there's shenanigans going on. Leechy this side of the desk for 92.9 Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Britt Taylor is here with me in Perth. Hello, Britt.
Oh, hello, Leechy. I would like to say I'm happy to be here, but let's be honest. We would rather be on the other side of the country today, where our two esteemed colleagues are. Good morning, Zach.
Oh, grand final day, Mickey. It's great to be here. We've been lucky enough to play on this day.
Yep. Some better than others.
Yeah, some better than others. Some
you've had a couple of cracks at it.
I was around four. Played in three and then missed 13 with a leg. So I've been around it a little bit.
Hey.
But the further you get away from it, I must say, the more you appreciate the moment.
Yeah, when you actually figure out you couldn't do it, you can't actually go out there and run around and contribute, you actually think, oh, well, it was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Can you set the scene of what Melbourne's like on grand final? You've been here for a couple of days. What the build-up's been like, what it's like on grand final morning?
Yeah, Britt, so this morning we're staying near the MCG. I just wandered down. The MCC were queuing up early. Red's really popping. A lot of Sydney supporters out there. Geelong obviously been there, done that. The weather's gloomy and a bit sprinkly and unsure what it wants to do this morning. But
we went down to the pubs yesterday just to catch up, Zave and I, in South Melbourne, which is obviously the Sydney Swans area, heartland for Victorians, and red and white everywhere. So there's a really strong contingent of Sydney fans in town.
Have you guys put yourself in the Sydney camp?
What's the Geelong song?
That's the red and the white.
I think the greatest team of all will be Geelong this year, Britt.
Yes, there you go.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to get into a full grand final preview in around about 6 minutes.
What else we got, Leechy?
We're going to talk spring racing carnival because we won't have a chance to.
It's
the last show of the year. So Britt Taylor is going to give us a full rundown of what's happened in the spring racing carnival. She's going to, of course, be on TV doing the Channel 10 gear for the Melbourne Cup Carnival. So, you know, no pressure or anything.
On the TV.
Liam Shields is going to join us in the second hour as well, and Game of Games not too far away.
He's a trippy.
Now, with Mickey Barlow, with Britt Taylor, and Xavier Ellis, the man that has had a premiership medallion around his neck.
Yeah, correct. Hey, Mick, let's
but
go
not
through
a Britt.
Jesus.
Sorry, I'm just looking at the time machine. I'm Britt in about half an hour. We'll get through that. And I'm telling you, if you want to come clean before we do it, come clean and we'll just let it go. But if you don't, then we're going to have to do it live.
So talk us through it,
Grand final preview.
How's it won and lost?
Oh, well, I think Geelong were obviously favourites for a reason. Yeah, they haven't lost for a couple of months or whatever it is. And they did so well in the prelim final. But I can just see, and I call them the headless chooks at Sydney. They're young, dumb, and just don't care. And I can see the headless chooks not getting overawed by the situation. Yeah. Warner, Blakey, all those guys coming off half-back. Robot, they're headless chooks.
The other thing, and sorry to jump in, but they live in Sydney. So it's not footy mad.
No.
Yeah, so they've just kind of gone through and really emerged in the back half of the year. They get to this situation, I think they'll just be lapping it up, and it looked like that yesterday in the grand final parade.
But with that being said, did you look at Geelong at the Brownlow dinner? They looked like they were pretty cool, calm, collected.
The boringest
like settled
night
in.
You'll ever have.
The Brownlow?
For the Sydney guys and the Geelong guys who are in their own rooms, Sydney looked like they'd put them out the back of the Parramatta Pokies.
Yeah, but I tell you what, I must admit, and Cripper said it in his speech, I'd rather be sitting here sober next year. So, boring. The other thing is, too, it's a Sunday night, and so they're at the Brownlow and not having a drink or anything, which is fine. But most of those players probably would have had a couple of glasses of red at home if it wasn't Brownlow night. Yeah. So they're sitting there going,
the ones you know, Tom Hawkins.
I'm just being very generic about that conversation.
Brownlow, have you ever seen a more visibly hungover Brownlow medalist than Cripper the next day?
Jet lag, hungover, everything in one box.
It was the best.
Brett, who do you think wins tomorrow?
I think Geelong. I think everyone's in that camp. And I think you asked a few weeks ago had I jumped on the bandwagon of another club, and I said no, I was firmly in the Geelong camp. That was the way I wanted to see the season play out, and I think they will get the job done today. Are you both in that same corner?
Correct, yes. So I think Geelong, and it's stating the absolute obvious. Anything can happen in a two-horse race on the biggest day. So I think Zave's summation was really good. The Sydney attitude that they do seem like
Like, wouldn't surprise
there's an
me
element
a quarter
of
time,
the 2016 Dogs about them, like yeah, a young yeah, group yeah. that Robert Murphy once described as a bunch of wild frogs.
Yeah.
And there's probably a little bit of that about Sydney that they can come in, their
they
youth,
feel, they're
their
feeling
exuberance.
Froggy. They're yeah. froggy.
And what they would have learned an absolute bucket load from the last 5 to 10 minutes last week where they nearly dropped it in the bed.
Yeah, and I don't think in Sydney, and I mean this with all respect to Josh Kennedy, for example, who's been an absolute megastar of the competition. Sorry, but they've waited through his retirement. He's not there. It is the kids' team. You know what I mean? Like, it's Mills, Parker, obviously with their experience, but then it's the kids. Like
Warner,
it's their spots. They've been there forever.
Yeah,
I'm going to find it really interesting. Will there be a late change as well, Mick? You think there probably will be?
Yeah, my take on it is, Sam Reed is Logan McDonald, the boy from WA, sitting there thinking I'm a fair sniff to play, but we'll wait and see on that.
What would you bring in McDonald?
Well, with my extensive medical background on adductor injuries, groin injuries, yes.
Okay.
You know how extensive my...
But Logan McDonald's kicked 5 goals in...
You got to be fit. You got to be 100% fit and available.
Yeah, so is Logan McDonald the right man? He's dropped, but is he dropped for a reason?
Well, he's in the emergency list. Joel Amati's not in the emergency list, so...
Could they bring in a Braden Campbell who played 16 games this year?
They'd be a bit small, I think, up front.
Okay.
Mm. All right, so we're all in the Geelong camp.
Too much reliance on Buddy. Yep.
Margin?
13.
Oh, okay. I think I've had 4
change
goals.
I've had a change of heart this morning.
What do you mean?
I'm thinking Sydney, mate.
No,
I think
you're
not. No, I can just see these kids going off their head. I hope that it's not the case because I'm going for Geelong. But I can just see that, you know, before you know it, the older legs of Geelong can't keep up. Okay. And I don't know why. But I'm going to go Sydney by 8 points.
Norm Smith.
Cam Guthrie.
Callum Mills.
Brittany. Field.
Danger.
Zave, what is going on over there?
So I work with a bloke who I just don't know whether he's quiet with us all the time.
What's going
on? just mid-break before he did a stretch, before he asked a question, had to limber up.
Yeah.
Now he's gone and got his backpack for some reason. Not sure what he's possibly pulling. He's got his notepad.
Oh,
what do you get putting in your notepad? It's a piddly little notepad,
just,
too.
I'm behind on a couple of invoices, and I'm just figuring out whether...
He's paying invoices. Mate, it's grand final morning. You don't need to pay invoices.
Whilst it was hot in the mind, and I knew I had Britt and yourself to really see
how
the
are
shit.
You?
So,
yeah,
so continue whilst I do the sums.
Yeah, sure. Just quickly, Game of Games is coming up very, very soon. But Britt, we're going to talk about the umpires. We did this last year because there was a Michael Barlow who was an umpire
in last
year's grand final.
Never to be heard of again.
Finally one that had a successful grand final.
That is very, very true. Yes, well, you know, all season I've really enjoyed the players when they get the call up that it's their debut game and they call mum and dad and they let them know and it's a bit emotional. And
you love the softer side of it all, don't you, Britt?
I love it. I really get involved with it. This week one came out and I just wasn't expecting an emotional call to an umpire.
We've appointed you to the... AFL Grand Final this weekend.
Thanks, Timmy.
You all right, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm pumped.
No, you should be, mate. You've had some ups and downs and you've had a long journey, but, you know, 200 games this completed this year and, you've had a fantastic season, a great final series. Stood up in some really big moments. You've got all of our trust and, you know, we know you'll put in a fantastic performance on Saturday.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for backing me in, mate. Very, very happy.
So
I'm getting a bit bloody teary.
When you're sitting there today and people are abusing the umpires, hurling abuse at the TV, whether you're at the game and you're just going mad about the umpires.
What was his name?
I don't know.
Brendan Hosking.
Yeah, Brendan Hosking. Just think of Brendo.
Hosky.
Yeah.
Hosky.
I love that you're all about the good stories and the stories of success.
It was right across who that was.
Do you know poor old Jeno there, who's the umpire's coach?
Yeah.
He would have had to ring a couple of umpires, which they haven't put to air, say, mate, you're out this week.
Yeah. Bad luck. Should have been better.
Do you think they make that call or did they just only call the ones that are
in? Open up the newspaper and go,
read in the paper.
Yeah, it's doing it.
Ross Lyon used to pick the side. It used to just be the magnets on the board. Magnets on the board on the Thursday, and he'd just push the whiteboard into the players' room and then just walk out. He'd be like, okay, are we in or out?
Yeah, right. No phone calls or anything.
Oh, I think I should validate it. Every now and then he'd grab players on the field. Mm. I think if they were going out or coming in, but if you were always kind of on the fringe and, you know, didn't know, like, oh, Tommy Sheridan is a ripper for it.
Yeah.
He just had to wait for the white ball every week.
Reeled in.
What kind of operator are you, Mickey? At Werribee, if you have to drop a player, or imagine you've got a big grand final day, you've got team selection, how do you
Liam
operate?
Liam Shields is carrying an injury into grand final week next week. And next year, sorry.
And he's got to go out?
Yeah. How are you doing it?
I'd just make him do the fitness test and he know he can't pass. All right, mate, you've got to run a 100-metre sprint in 10 and a half seconds.
Can't do it, unlucky.
The only way I can trust you. I've never run that fast in my life, Mick.
So I'll tell you what we used to do with umpires, and this is true. Hawthorne were really bad. We're always last for free kicks against. We were shocking at it. We're the worst team at giving away free kicks. Some undisciplined, the unsociable sort of stuff.
Yep.
Anyway, so Clarko started printing off photos, headshots of the umpires. So when they walked around, we'd introduce ourselves. G'day.
A lot of clubs do that.
Good to see you, Nathan. Good to see you, Jason. Hey, Rog, good luck today.
Just trying to get on the right side of them.
Yeah. Bribery. So that was an us thing first.
A lot of clubs do that. But Brett, in all sincerity, that is a terrific video. Because that's why these guys and girls do it.
But they, this is their grand final.
Yeah, this is their grand final as much as, well, clearly.
You forget.
But you do. And it's always the, and it takes no Einstein to figure out why, the best officiated game of the year.
Mm, very much so. Well done to Matt Stevick, Brendan Hosking and Simon Meredith, the umpires today. No one will remember him after today. And of course, Britt Taylor, we're also at that time of year where not only is hay fever kicking in, but the spring racing carnival's kicking in as well.
Oh, we love this, Brittany.
It is a really good time of the year, the spring racing carnival. It is upon us. And given this is our last show, we're not going to be here to be going through the fields week by week as we round out to some of the better races on the carnival. So I thought we'd have a little look at a couple of the spring features. And one of those is the Everest. And we all know that's the slot race that has really gained a lot of momentum, the brainchild of Peter Volandis. And I don't know how they're going to beat the world's best sprinter in Nature Strip. Last week, we saw him run in the shorts. It was basically like a mini Everest, really similar feel to what we expect will probably go around on October 15. But he won that, and I honestly don't know how they're going to beat him.
Hey, Britt, do you subscribe to the fact that they need to sort of already start to mix the Everest up somehow, that it's become a bit bland with the same horses running every year?
I mean,
I heard that debate on radio throughout the week.
I can understand that, particularly given that we have just seen the shorts last week, which is basically the same race but for a lot less prize money. But I still think it's a really exciting concept. There's still, and we now know that WA is going to have the Quokka, which is going to be the same sort of
thing. Very similar to the Everest.
Very, very similar. It's that
just
someone
10 or
buys
12
a slot.
Million less.
Exactly. You just pick who is going to run for you. And there's always changing things. So whilst we might say at this point that the field seems similar and it's not exciting, there's still three weeks to go.
Yeah.
Imagine, you know, Nature Strip, something, you know, has a high temperature the day before and all of a sudden Chris Waller's scrambling to find a different horse to put in the slot. Like, there's a lot of narratives that can come out of a race like the Everest.
Yep.
So,
got you there.
I've already putting in Nature Strip as our Everest winner. I think
wins.
We know I don't like to be going.
Where will you be that day, Britt?
I will be at Ascot.
I'm interested in your schedule, your calendar over this busy racing period.
Well, I'm actually coming to Melbourne tomorrow to go to Sandown to watch the Underwood. So Group 1 racing there tomorrow.
I heard you could have got here today for the show.
Yeah, and
but you said,
us.
I don't know if I want to sit with Sabre.
Well, actually, I was going to.
Come out with the boys. We would have had a fun time.
Yeah, but then the Queen decided that we'd need a public holiday on the Thursday, and then I was meant to be there on the Thursday and couldn't.
Just be a bit gentle. I'm still a bit more, I'm still sort of mourning it. So
we've had our 10 days mourning now, Zabe. We're moving on.
Anyway, can't speed this process up, mate.
So now I can only get there tomorrow, so it's probably badly timed. I miss.
Okay. How's that? We're
I
bookending the
weekend final.
With the morning Queen's morning day.
Yeah,
and the King's birthday.
The King's birthday.
Yes, it's a strange sort of concept, isn't it?
No time to rest. We just keep ploughing on the King's birthday on Monday.
That's exactly right. Now tomorrow, the Underwood Stakes, Group 1 level. We're seeing Zaki go around. Now Zaki missed last week. Goes. This is a horse that's second favourite for the Cox Plate. So we're talking Australia's biggest race, Jamie Carr in the saddle for Annabelle Neesham. That's a ripper of a race. Only six horses tomorrow. But
on Thunderstruck, blasts its brains out. That's a call.
I'm a Mr. Brightside fan. I just love this horse so much for Ben and JD Hayes. And this is a horse that's second favourite for the Caulfield Cup, which is run on the same day as the Everest. So that will be a massive day of racing. But all of these sort of names are ones, I think, that are worth following into the spring. And, yeah, if there's a race to watch as a bit of a lead-up, I'd say it's tomorrow's Underwood. Only six horses, but all of them will play really prominently.
Mark Zara, sleepless night tonight. And not because he's nervous he won't win. He's nervous he's going to fall off. It's going to be going that quick on Thunderstruck. Win by three.
Ooh, okay. Uh-huh. Really, really confident. I mean, was very, very good last start. He was a winner.
As Zave Ellis said that, he just sat back with a look, with a feel of accomplishment.
Yeah.
How good are these chairs, by the way?
Bloody good.
They don't break in Melbourne.
No, they're
unbroken. Well, they send these to Perth in about 15 years.
Brit Quickly Cups.
Of course. And then there is the Melbourne Cup. Looking forward to being there for that one this year as well.
On site.
We're down to just 10 internationals, so it might have a fair bit of an Australian flavour.
The Japanese? Are we getting the Japanese?
Yeah, there's a few horses that are coming over, and they're already starting to do their quarantine period now. And
what's your role on Cup Day?
On Cup Day, I will be interviewing on horseback the winning jockey.
So you're the first jockey. What question are you going to go to with first?
It depends who wins.
Right.
It's not something you can plan. It's something you have to feel.
Yeah. Oh, so you have 24. You got to feel. You just feel it out. No prep. Just go back. Well, obviously prep, but just
24
go bang.
Horses.
You do. That's remarkable because Britt, this take behind the curtain of what she's doing. She'll do prep on 24 individuals and individual stories.
I mean,
you only get
just
to reel out one.
That's just for the cup, let alone the nine other races on the day with full fields as well.
You just re-spin them over the next nine. You hope that Jamie Carter.
No wonder
ride
that pay packet you disclosed to us earlier is what it is. Well done.
I thought 250 was under. Yeah. To be honest.
He'll load up, and there he goes.
This will be the game.
It's time for Dead Set Legends Game of Games.
Here we go.
All right, it is the final game of games for the season. Mickey, are you ready to lift?
Britt, no, I won last week.
It's uneasy, Britt, because I'm in the same room as him this
week. But we're looking at the ledger and...
We got a wrong tally.
It's a grand final today. I'm happy to call it.
Last goal wins.
Yeah, I like it.
Let's do it.
Grand final today.
And we're in the same room.
All right.
We might stare each other in the eyes.
That's it. So there can't be any Googling along the way. They've made this a bit of a punch-up.
They're hip and shouldering already.
Yeah, let's just explain the visual. They are literally just hip and shouldering throughout the studio. They're throwing chairs at each other. Boys.
It's the 2004 grand final.
Look after the furniture. They won't have you back in Melbourne.
This is a big moment. That's all right. We won't be coming back anyway. But,
let's find out who you are playing for. Let's go to Jack from Caranup. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
All right, who do you want in this grand final edition of Game of Games to play for you? Do you want Zave or do you want Mickey?
Well, I love Mickey, but I'm a huge West Coast fan, so I'm going to have to go with Xavier Ellis here.
Come to Papa, Jackie boy. Good to hear from you, mate.
Very diplomatic, Jack. But,
all right,
get
that
stuff.
Means Cheryl from Subiaco, as we say good morning to you, you've got Mickey.
Awesome, thank you.
Now
let's do it, Cheryl.
All right. Are you ready, boys?
Yeah, absolutely, Brittany Taylor. Let's rock and roll.
Mickey,
Mix
why have you taken your shirt off for this?
He's just flashed something at me. I don't want to see your sword. That's disgusting.
Another HR issue with Mickey.
How many abdominals can you count, Zave?
Oh, Britt, don't. Britt, you'll be blushing.
Question one, come on.
All right, let's go.
All right, here we go. Britt want another look.
I know.
Co-captain of the losing 2016 grand final side, Kieran Jack.
Oh, Kieran Jack, Mick Barlow, you're first off the...
Kieran Jack.
Yeah. What a footy rookie story. Son of an NRL great. Yeah. 224.
Now, I remember his 200th being played at Geelong. Remember there was the Barney between the partner and the parents?
Yeah,
and the parents
the
didn't go.
And the,
remember that?
Mm.
I do now. I wouldn't have thought of that for... But
that's good memory by me.
How long?
It?
Probably 4 years.
So I'm going to go 240, maybe 40 games after that. 240, what'd you go?
220? 224.
Yeah, I'll go 240.
Team Zave.
Yep. I'm a high energy guy.
He's got some class.
Yeah.
256 for Kieran.
That's a lot of games.
That is a lot of footy.
It wasn't a great kick.
No, but never injured. Tough.
Very tough. Yeah. Tagged. Turn right. from a tagger to a taggy. Okay, Britt's hurrying us up. Let's go.
Captain of the losing 2011 grand final team, ooh. Nick Maxwell.
Maxie.
Nick's Maxwell.
Oh, he played a fair bit of football. He's off the rookie list as well, wasn't he?
Some good, great resilient stories.
Yes. I'm going to go, I think Maxie maybe something like 221.
Oh, I don't think he got to 200.
Yeah, I reckon?
187.
221, 187.
Ooh. Team save.
I'm a high energy guy.
And he's got some class.
208.
I was going to go 194, dead set. Can that, I just back
it? Well, you would have lost anyway.
Jackie boy, mate, I've got a prize coming your way.
No,
it looks like
not
it's
yet.
Over.
Don't yeah, put the cart them, right? before the horse. Mickey's still doing the maths on that.
No. How about 194? Still in
yeah,
the box.
Still, yep.
Next.
All
come
right.
On, Britt, hurry up.
Don't you hurry up,
where
my
have you got
quiz?
To be? Just a wedding?
Yeah. Yeah.
On the Gold Coast.
Nah, I'm two down. I'm. You know when you get
you're
back.
Flat.
But you've seen how I flex, haven't you? It's bad.
No, lift it up again.
Look at Britt's eyes falling out of her head. No, Brittany.
Come
I'm
on.
A married man.
Leader of the Port Adelaide side that lost in 2007, Warren Treadray.
Warren?
Oh, Treadray.
A lot of footy, 2-6-3.
Nah, a lot less than that. He missed a lot of football with a knee. I'm going to go 2-4-9.
Oh, that's
a lot less than that. You go, yeah. Oh, no, a lot less than that. And
oh,
go
I'll go 2-38 then.
Wait, you're going to 238.
Wait, what's your final answer?
238.
Still. Team Mickey. It's my best time of the week.
255.
Only because you decided to change your number.
You would have but won that, in a clean sweep.
We're on the same page. You can't say a lot less than that.
Yeah, and then go five under.
We all know he played. I went 16 under or whatever it was. It's a full season. Really.
I would say that's mean from Britt Taylor, just deciding to sort of, you know.
What's mean from me? What did I do
just
wrong?
Just called him out. It's like he should have sat with that. And that was it. But anyway.
All right.
But
don't
you
worry,
know what?
Cheryl. We're going to get what's the price today? Family pass.
Family pass, the Perth Royal Show.
Are those Triple M tracksuit pants still in vogue?
Yeah, I've got about 8 pairs at home.
We'll send some of Zane Alice out the winner.
You don't want them.
All right, led the D's to the 2000 AFL Grand Final, David Neitz.
Oh, Nita.
To the Grand Final, they lost. Nita, doing some great work for the Neil Danaher Foundation.
I
runs his brewery.
Yeah, I played in his last game. Well, he didn't actually play, but it was his send-off for the Melbourne Football Club. He did the raz up for them at the banner before they ran out and got going.
How much did I lose by?
I think we got him by 100. I think we did. I'm thinking that Nita might have played 268.
251.
No, that's too close to me.
Team Save wins.
Exco, give it to you.
Jack, mate, you've taken the family off to the Royal Show. Congratulations, Jacko.
Amazing. Thanks so much, Dave. The kids will love it.
Nah, you're a star, mate. Well done.
Yeah, was 306.
Gee, I'll be having a beer in the bar today, the David Neitz bar.
Yeah.
All right, last one, Brittany.
All right, and I did want to get to this one because he's a good racing man. Captain of the Cats side that lost to the Eagles in the 1994 Grand Final, Mark Bairstow.
Was he the captain?
Yeah, captain of the club. Yeah.
Oh, 171.
No, I'm going to go. Did he come see in a Brownlow or something?
Is racing silks a Geelong colours?
I'm going to go 156.
146.
That's the correct answer.
That's 5-0. 4-1. But Jack and Carrot, congratulations to you, Cheryl and Subiaco. Apologies, but the Perth Royal Show is back. Enjoy rides, entertainment, and show bags by day. Then catch WA's best fireworks every night. Tickets online for the Perth Royal Show. 92.9 Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Oh, I just wanted to test the boys out on their ability to know club songs. How do you boys rate yourselves?
Oh, no, I'm probably somewhere in between.
I'd be
good and bad.
6.5, I reckon.
All right, so today we could hear two songs. Give us the best rendition. Let's go, Sydney.
Cheer, the red and the white. Honour the name by day and by night.
Geelong.
We are Geelong, the greatest team of all. We are Geelong.
Down at Kadoo.
Brisbane.
It's the French. No, it's the French.
Throw them a curveball.
We will always fight for victory.
St. Kilda.
When the Saints.
Yes.
Go marching in.
Oh, when the Saints go marching in.
Richmond.
Oh, we're from Tigerland.
Gold Coast Suns.
Oh.
Now, I've just figured this one out. We are the sons of the Gold Coast sky. We are the red, blue, and gold. Fight, fight, fight till the
well done from the former player.
Is that it?
Five times. 5 and 10 with the Suns.
That's all right.
At least you got to sing it at least once or twice.
Dead. I was in the middle once as well.
Well,
those with the touch choose Tab Touch. Better your bet and download Tab Touch today. Gamble responsibly. Call Gambler's Help on 1-800-858-858. All I do is win, win,
win, no matter what. Sending you into the weekend with a winner in your hand.
Oh, you beauty.
This is Brit's Best.
Well, that is what we've aimed to do all season. And it all culminates in this. We have been raising money for Lifeline all throughout the season, and today we have the pleasure of being able to reveal the final total for the Brit's Best segment.
Okay.
I think we might need to rename it next year because you've really carried the team here, Zave. Some of those put in and take out.
I was going to say we've already got a name for it.
Saves money.
Put in.
Saves money.
Take out.
Saves money.
You put it in.
And you
take it back out.
And that's what it's all about.
It's something my body doesn't control.
It's been the great find of 2022.
It really has been.
I don't like talking about it. I feel a bit awkward, to be honest.
Which is why you bring it up at every opportunity that you can. No, a few good multis landed early in the season. It got us off to a good start. And today, donating to Lifeline, we have $2,926.38 going their way. So it's been a really good season. And we're not having our bet today, but if you were having a bet today, Zave, on the grand final.
No, I'm in. I'm having a bet. Don't worry about that. I don't care.
So am I.
Happening.
But
it's all in. It's all happening today. And I'm going to do two Norm Smith bets, okay?
One each side?
Yeah, one each side. Because I'm rooting hard for the Cats, obviously, with my mates. And then I just got this tickle in my stomach about...
You're rooting and you've got a tickle in your stomach.
That's a term you use, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're rooting for
someone?
I'm rooting for the Geelong boys because obviously some mates there. But I'm going to go, I'm going to have $25 on Tom Hawkins for the Norm Smith. Feel like you might get the better of Paddy McCartan.
And the tickle in the tummy?
And the tickle in the tummy is just Callum Mills at $10.
Mm.
Yes. 25 on that. So 250 is your minimum there. And I'm not even going to try and work out what Hawks is, but you're winning some money. $18.
Put it in.
Like
just put it in. Sit there, watch the footy and pay for dinner. Simple. Mm. On me.
All right. Beautiful.
You putting a bet in today?
Oh, well, I was hoping to just get a few legs of a multi from the boys there, but we've only got a couple Norm Smiths, so we'll work on, work on putting together.
Let's,
we're not actually having
either
this
side
bet
under
for
15
charity,
points.
Though, are we?
Either side under 15 points.
Either side under 15 for Mick, so you're tight tomorrow.
Keep it tight.
Tight, right? I like it.
I've got the pen out. I'm writing these down. I'm going to formulate this.
Well, you want another couple of things
for
you, Brittany?
Yeah, a few little legs for me.
Right, easy,
disposals,
easy,
maybe. I like something to watch throughout, so disposals are good. I'd like to be able to cheer them on.
Cam Guthrie, 25.
Okay, yep, good.
Bank it. Don't muck around with it. Bank it. Dangerfield, 24. Bank it. Don't muck around, Brittany. Bank it. And Tom Hawkins. I'm not going to put his disposals in. All right, here's another little cheek.
How many do you reckon Buddy kicks?
3.
Okay.
Bank it.
We'll go
bank
Buddy it. For 2 or more.
Bank
or do we
it.
Go 3?
Put it in.
Don't even think about it.
3.
Bank it.
We said 3, Britt. Bank okay. it.
This is
three.
Next year's.
And then, of course, last but not least. Now, this is...
Now you're getting silly.
I've got a few too many.
Tyson Stengel.
Bank it. But what?
2.
Bank it.
Bank it. Stangers.
That was Brit's Best for Tab Touch.
Xavier Ellis, we have got one of your good mates with us, someone who played at the Hawthorn Football Club and tore it up numerous times, especially when we talk about grand finals. Liam Shields is with us right now.
Morning, pup. How are you, mate?
Going well, X. Thanks for having me. This will probably be my last ever interview, so
yes.
Let's make it a good one.
Well, we're not actually here to talk about the footy. We're going to try and get you to Werribee next year assistant coach. Are you keen to come?
Oh, mate, I feel very wanted. I've had about 15 local footy clubs ask my service next year. So it's nice to feel loved. But, add Werribee to the list.
Yeah, well, that'll make it 16, pup. But it is actually an interesting time of your career. You've had a glorious career, the 3-time premiership player. X referred you as Trip, so we'll just call you Trip for the rest of the interview.
Trip. Tell you what, he's a drip.
How has the wash up been? All you've known really for your adult life is playing AFL football. How's the last couple of months been?
Yeah, it's been nice. As you said, I drafted as a 17-year-old still in school, so footy's all I've ever known.
Came in looking like an absolute fool's head with peroxide hair.
Yeah, it's funny. I walked into the footy club with blonde tips and I walk out with grey tips. So I've stressed a lot over my career or I'm getting old.
That does really show the longevity, doesn't it? 17 years old, you're just a baby back then, still with a year of school to go. How were you able to sort of balance the two?
Yeah, well, there was great people at the club. Obviously, Xavier Ellis took me under his wing a little bit, the X-Man in the studio, so he looked after me.
That sounds like the worst thing that could happen.
That's right. No, it was good. I had great support from my school. They were fantastic about it. I took every Thursday off so I could train with the footy club, and Hawthorn were great as well. They made it work. So, yeah, it was a very enjoyable year. One of the best years of my life. Whenever I wanted to get out of footy, I just told them I had a little bit of extra schoolwork I needed to get done. And whenever I wanted to get out of school, I said, the footy club needs me. So, yeah, it was a good fun year.
Now, Pup, we'll talk to you about today's game later on, but your own career, 255 games, came to an end, three-time premiership player. How did that work and how did it play out? Obviously, Sam Mitchell, the coach, and making decisions on futures and all that sort of stuff. How did you and Sam have been tight, thick as thieves forever. How did those conversations play out?
Yeah, Sam was fantastic the whole year. He's open and honest. That's probably one of his great strengths as a coach. So we had ongoing discussions throughout the whole year about where the footy club was at and where my footy was at, and just kind of the line that, the footy club probably needed to get games into a few of those younger kids that they took in the draft, Josh Ford, Connor McDonald, these guys that are playing similar positions that I was. So, it was my time to step aside, and it's all a bit of a cycle. When I first got drafted, there was probably a few older guys that stepped aside to make way for me to come through. So, the footy club's been great, and I've really enjoyed working with the younger players at the footy club this season. I've spent a bit of time as a sub, so you can talk to the younger players as they're coming to the bench and help them out as much as possible, but also spent, 8 games down at Box Hill where I was playing alongside these younger guys as well. So, really, really enjoyable year, different year for me, but, enjoyed it nonetheless.
255 games, Pup, and three really special days in grand final days. What of those three are the most memorable?
If you say 2015, I'll drive to your joint and clip you.
Oh, they're all special in their own little way. I think they've all got their own little story behind it. Obviously, we lost in 2012 to Sydney.
Pull your finger out of your ass too, Pup, mate. You could have done more to make that day special for me.
Sorry, mate. Well, I actually think, as we were the best side all year that year and just didn't turn up on grand final day. So that was a bit of pill to swallow. But, yeah, to get back there the next year and to win your first premiership is extra special. I think the first time you do anything is really special and something you never forget. But then,
and you can pull your finger out on that one as well, Pup, because that's the day you beat me.
Yeah, and then the next one, we obviously get Sydney again. So a bit of redemption for 2012. And Bud had gone up there at that time as well. So there was a good story behind that. And then the last one, to be the first Hawthorn side to win a three-peat, it was extra special. And, both the Sydney and West Coast ones where the game was pretty much over with, maybe a quarter to go. It was nice to just sit back and enjoy it.
You mentioned that 2012 grand final, the loss before the three-peat. There'll be a winner and a loser today. How much does a club take out of a grand final loss to spur them on in following years?
Yeah, I think without losing that one in 2012, we definitely would have gone on and won the next three. There was a lot of fire in the belly. I think, from memory, after losing in 2012, we did watch a lot of edits from that game and went into the off-season with a lot of fire in our belly and wanted to come back the next year and give ourselves the best chance of getting to the premiership, getting to the grand final. And once we got there, I was very confident we'd get the job done, especially after feeling the agony of defeat the previous year.
Pup, we saw yesterday the parade and all that sort of stuff and driving to the ground today for what's a blockbuster. Did you guys, stick to your routine as best you could? I know sitting through hundreds of thousands of people is not really part of a normal routine, but did you just embrace it, enjoy the day?
Yeah, it's a big week. From memory, I think up until Thursday, that's a pretty normal week. Obviously, there's an open training session where a lot of supporters come down to Waverley at the time, and That's a big day. But other than that, it's a pretty normal week up until Thursday. But then Thursday onwards with the parade and the big build-up to the game, you just kind of got to embrace that as much as possible. You can't shy away from it. It's not going to be a normal week. There's going to be things on that you have to do, extra media, the parade and things like that. So I think it's important just to, you know, try to enjoy it and embrace it as much as possible.
And we've tried to sum up today's game and tried to figure out who's going to win.
And we've got no bloody idea.
We have no idea. No. We have no idea. You've actually been out there and seen these sides go to work, this year and across the last couple of years. They're two different sides, aren't they? The age demographic and the style they both play. But what's your take on the game today?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a cracking game today. Obviously, Geelong's probably been the best side all year. They've won 14 in a row now. So, that speaks for itself. And they've got gun players all over the park. Even thought against Brisbane last week, they had a few guys that probably didn't play their best footy and they seemed to, get the win there easily. But then you've also got Sydney, who's a young, enthusiastic side. They bring great pressure. They were similar to Collingwood in a way. Both those teams that played off in that prelim, I think whoever won that was going to cause Geelong a lot of trouble on grand final day. But I think it's just going to be a cracking game. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Hey, Pup, are you sitting in the back of the truck?
At the moment.
No, lap of honour? Are you doing a lap of honour today?
Doing a lap of honour alongside Ben McAvoy. So that'll be a good experience. I'll take my little 6-month-old Tommy along for the ride with me. So, yeah, it's going to be good fun. Really looking forward to it.
How have you enjoyed fatherhood? You mentioned only recently a 6-month-old little boy.
Yeah, loving it. Yeah, he's really good. Starting to get a little bit of a personality now, which is cool. It is hard work. I was used to, get 9 hours sleep a night. So that's rocked me a little bit. But, absolutely loving it.
All right, puppy dog, give us a tip, a margin, and a Norm Smith if you've got one there.
I'm going to say my good mate Isaac Smith for the Norm Smith.
Yeah.
And I reckon it's going to be a cracking game. I'm going to say Geelong by 5 points.
Ooh,
Geelong by
one.
5, Isaac Smith. Love it, pup. Enjoy the lap of honour today, mate. 3 premierships, 255 games. You deserve all the accolades you're getting. I look forward to having a couple of beers with you after.
Beautiful. Thanks for having me, guys. Let your
motor run and pedal to the metal.
And it's lights out and away we go!
This is Rusty's Motorsport Update.
Bendix Brakes, put your foot down with confidence.
Well, what a year we've had with this man as we talk all things motorsport with our exceptional great mate, Greg Rust. 4 podcasts on the go now, guys.
It's a foursome.
It is.
It's pods.
It's pods. It's Rusty's Garage. It's the grill. It's what's under the bonnet. It's the showroom, all free on the listener app. Hello, pods.
G'day, and that new nickname is sticking already. Colleagues of mine in the broadcast game are using it, so well done.
Oh, beautiful, mate. That's good to hear. Pods, hey, just quickly, mate, let's just get straight into it because, footy finals are here, grand final and NRL and all that sort of bits and pieces, but it also means in the motorsport world that we're a step closer to Bathurst and the teams are doing their final testing before tracking up the mountain.
Exactly. So some of the wildcard entries, the likes of Craig Lowndes and a young driver by the name of Declan Fraser, and then Greg Murphy, the legendary Kiwi, who's pairing up with Richie Stanaway, they get to have a kind of final hit out. But in the past week, we've seen teams at the Winton Circuit in Victoria. And a good combo to kind of watch out for. You know, we tend to think of the Dick Johnson Racing team and the Red Bull guys, but one combo absolutely worth watching in addition to the Walkinshaw crew. I'm talking here about the Monster Energy Mustang of young Cam Waters, who's paired up with James Moffat. And James' dad was a legend of the Australian touring car scene. And they are, they've got a fast car and he's not afraid to get the elbows out, Cam, when he's been battling with Shane during the year.
Bloody oath.
Yep. And the F1 calendar's out, Rusty. 24 races next year. That's huge.
Jeez.
Record. It's a record. It's going to be absolutely massive for the team. So China back on the calendar. The one that you guys are all looking forward to, the second last round of the championship in Las Vegas. I'm sure you've booked your tickets already.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Going to be absolutely a huge, huge year for the sport. But spare a thought for the teams and all that. And Australia, of course, round 3, as we've talked about on the show. So third round of the championship for next year.
And Remy Gardner, he's off. He's out of the MotoGP at the end of the year, off to the World Superbike. Will he ever come back?
He is. A lot of people wonder, even he started to wonder. I mean, he's absolutely got the appetite and the inner will to hopefully one day come back to MotoGP, but history shows it's very, very difficult to do that. So hopefully he has a successful run in the World Superbike Championship. Many of us believe he genuinely deserved at least another year in MotoGP. It wasn't a great bike or perfect set of circumstances, and clearly something in the relationship has broken down. But it would have been good for him to have at least a second year to kind of settle in. So off to World Superbike, let's see what happens.
And just a quick one, Yuki Tsunoda staying at AlphaTauri. Dan Ricciardo, what's going on?
Who's asking these questions?
you were meaning Yuki staying at AlphaTauri. You're absolutely right. A lot of talk about Pierre Gasly maybe still being released. Ooh. And going to Alpine. So we don't know yet whether that will happen or whether he'll stay in the Red Bull kind of sister operation, and whether that will keep the door open for Dan. And I think, judging by some social media, he might have snuck home to WA in recent days.
Yeah, sorry, he was in Perth.
Yep.
Roofing up the stadium, was he?
Leading up to the Singapore Grand Prix, which is in 1 week's time, and I will be there talking to you.
Oh, well, you beauty. You won't be, because this is our last one for the year, unfortunately. That's it. We're done. That's
we got the arse.
Xavier Ellis has pulled the rein and said, no more. So, Rusty, it's been a delight.
You can get us on one of your four podcasts if you want, Rusty.
Available anytime.
Mate, it's been a pleasure having you all year. Thanks very much for all your updates to do with motorsport in 2022, and hopefully we'll do it again next year. On your pods.
Thank you very much to you, your families, and especially to your listeners. Have a safe holiday season, and all the very best for Christmas.
That's why we love you, Rusty. We echo those thoughts back to you. So thanks, mate.
There you go.
The checkered flag's out for Rusty's Motorsport Update.
It's McLaren and Ricciardo that win the Italian Grand Prix.
Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
Folks, brilliant year. Well done.
Do you think they'll have us back next year?
Well, what are you doing, Britt? I heard that you might be knocking on the door at
a few other places.
I'm not doing any such thing.
Okay. Just making sure. Mick, what are you doing in the off-season?
I'll be back. I've got a week off now. I'm going to go to the Gold Coast and sun myself. And then I'll be back recruiting, planning for next year's Dead Set Legends pretty early.
Yeah, nice. Brittany Taylor, what do you got planned over the next few months?
Well, this is where it really heats up for me during the racing time. So I'll be over in Melbourne for the Melbourne Cup Carnival. So really looking forward to being there for that after not being able to get there last year because of the border restrictions. So
no, and you do a wonderful job, Britt.
And
so
say that to Eddie for us.
Yeah, Eddie everywhere. He'll be
fronting the coverage. Were you nervous working with Eddie?
No. What's there to be nervous about?
Good luck, mate. Don't fall off your horse in the Melbourne Cup interview, because that might go global.
Would we kind of be cheering for that?
I'll giggle me laugh.
If I fall off that little paint pony, there's something seriously wrong, and I don't deserve to have the job, because it's the quietest thing in the world.
Oh, geez, it'd be a good giggle, though. So, Britt, maybe just do it for a bit of a laugh for the boys. Just topple off.
Do you know how hard it is to fall
the
off?
Fake slip.
On purpose?
Got you going.
I've seen the video of Campbell Brown. It's not that hard to fall off.
That was by accident. That was very funny.
Get more good podcasts on the Listener app and get into Newtown Toyota East Vic Park. Let their family look after yours.